This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Julian, Lynn and Sharitz. Now, coming up in about 15 minutes' time is The Breakfast Grill, where Sharitz, you're going to speak with Paramount CEO Jeffrey Chew.
That's right. So many people know Paramount is a property developer, and but many don't know that they are also involved in education, and some of the well-known brands are the KDU and also Real Education. So they've started diversifying their businesses. So we'll ask Paramount about, you know, where they are headed from now on. So that's
Very interesting use of the land. Do you develop it and try to make profits out of it, or do you establish an educational centers out of it and get some yield out of it? I'm very interested to hear about the moves to REIT the whole education thing.
That's right. So they have extended their assets to REIT for them to manage. So this is some of the changes that's been taking place. Rather than owning it, having another trust manager to sort of look into this side of the business.
Okay, good stuff. Stay tuned for that. Sharitz will be speaking to Jeffrey Chew, Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. On to local news. Economic Affairs Minister Dato Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali said that the government will formulate yet another new Malay economic policy based on growth. This is to ensure equality and shared prosperity for Malaysians.
So his ministry will begin discussions and engagements with key stakeholders in Malaysia's economic sector. So if you remember, the new economic model was unveiled in 2010 by former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak. So that was an economic plan intended to more than double the per capita income in Malaysia by 2020. But unlike its predecessor, the new economic policy, in which the government assumed total responsibility for driving the nation's economy, the NEM called on the private sector to lead the way and for the government to play a more facilitative role.
Okay, it also wanted to have an improved system of affirmative action with an eye towards sustainability. So that's the second iteration, I believe. Mm-hmm. There might be others of the NEP that started by Tun Razak long ago.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been some reaction coming from, for example, from the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs Ideas. Now, they noted that the NEM greatest challenge is the political will and the government to see it through. Political leaders, for example, Anwar Ibrahim, responded to the plan announcement by arguing that the plan was devoid of substance and was designed as a publicity tool for the Barisan National Government. So there are also other responses, for example, from the Malay activist group Perkasa as well, who expressed concern with regards to the equal opportunity from this commission.
Yeah, I think that I can't help but feel that this is possibly a reaction to the interpretation of the results from Semenyer and Cameron Highlands as well, where Azmin Ali came out in very boldly saying that right now we got to like just push on with the Bumiputra agenda. And we know that the opposition of the past, who are now in the government today, in the past, they're saying that the NEP or, in fact, the NEM, not much is said about the Najib's NEM, but the NEP itself is very inefficient in terms of upgrading the role and contribution status of the Malays, even though it has lifted them out of poverty from 20-something percent before to now, 65% from before, and only 20% are in poverty. Poverty levels right now, but one can't help but feel that the NEP only enriched a certain slice of the Malay elite, the cronies of the past.
You mentioned, Jules, that this is that you feel like this is in response to the Semenyih and Cameron Highlands by-elections, but I think that was really only the moment when Pakatan Harapan saw the writing on the wall. I mean, if you remember, I think there was a survey a few months ago that showed of the ethnic groups in Malaysia, Malays were among the ones least optimistic about the direction of the new government. And I think that's really just snowballed over time when they see Pakatan Harapan is seen as perhaps disregarding the Bumiputra agenda. So now this feels like it's swinging right over to the other direction. But they've also announced so many different legislative directions in the last couple of months that you have to wonder at their ability to follow through with it, to push through with it.
Absolutely.
You know, how many things are they going to take onto their plate before we actually see something arrive in Parliament?
Yeah, so so this brings back to the question of perhaps the implementation, where, you know, there has been question as to whether or not the implementation of NDP in the past has been poor. Now, for example, if we look at in 2015, government has spent about 1.1 trillion on development and procurement, with Bumiputra entities getting the lion's share of 674 billion of the contract. Now, this is a big amount. And again, that question where a lot of the Bumiputra are saying that, you know, government's not doing enough, technically they are, you know, in the books, I mean, there's a lot of resources that has been allocated. It's just a matter of whether or not it's going through the right channel, or the, you know, whether or not the framework is working, really.
Of Najib's new economic model, Tony Pua at that point in time said that this is nothing more than an endorsement of the controversial NEP. So it'd be interesting to see how the new Pakatan Harapan government would shed new light on what is to be done with the affirmative action policy. Meanwhile, South Korean President Moon Jae-in arrived yesterday for a three-day visit to Malaysia. Malaysia is President Moon's second stop in his ASEAN tour, during which he also visited Brunei and Cambodia. President Moon is the first foreign leader to be received by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, who acceded to the throne on 31st January.
So the last state visit by a president of South Korea to Malaysia was by President Lee Myung-bak back in 2010. And for some insight into the diplomatic relations between Malaysia and South Korea, so we spoke to Dr. Hu Chiu-ping, a senior lecturer at the National University of Malaysia. So first off, we asked her to characterize South Korea's relations with ASEAN.
Well, South Korea's relationship with ASEAN, for Southeast Asia, it has always been seen as economically significant region. So particularly during the fallout of Chinese economic retaliation, the South Korean government has formulated a new Southern policy that aimed to increase their engagement with the Southeast Asian country to offset the fallout from the economic retaliation by China.
We also asked her thoughts on the significance of the President Moon's state visit to Malaysia.
Yeah, so actually it is part of the South Korea's new Southern policy. So since its announcement in 2017, the policy substance has yet to be seen. And therefore, the state visits by President Moon to Southeast Asia aims to substantiate the policy delivery. So for Malaysia, Mahathir government would look forward to complement South Korea's new Southern policy with its new Look-It policy. Many areas of which I think everyone knows that Malaysia has a fallout from China's Belt and Road Initiative. And Japan has already stepped in as a partner in especially in terms of investment in many areas. So Korea's emergence as an additional partner for Malaysia would enable Malaysia to diversify their options amidst the intense great power competition as of now.
Pivoting to peace talks between North and South Korea, President Moon has made unprecedented inroads with North Korea. However, further progress seems to be hampered by the impasse in the U.S.-North Korea denuclearization talks. We asked Chiu-ping how the Korean public views President Moon's efforts to enhance ties with North Korea.
Majority of Korean public views of Moon Jae-in's North Korea policy is actually supportive. This is largely due to the 2017 provocations by North Korea. So they actually really look forward to see a change in the status quo on the peninsula. But at the same time, they are also frustrated at the way the Moon Jae-in government's management of their economy. So to substantiate that, Moon Jae-in actually promised job creations running out of the inter-Korean cooperation. So as of the latest public opinion survey, majority of the public are still supportive of Moon's North Korea policy.
Out of curiosity, and given the ongoing trial over the assassination of Kim Jong-nam, we asked Chiu-ping whether we could expect any comments from South Korea on the court case.
So the Moon Jae-in government has been very careful not to make any statement that would upset North Korea. and also harming the prospect of its ongoing diplomacy with North Korea. So in that regard, not only on the Kim Jong-nam assassination trial, they were also very careful with when they are dealing with the North Korean not to support any hardline policy statement coming from the United States as well.
Okay, and that was Dr. Hu Chiuping, senior lecturer at UKM, who specializes in East Asian policy and security issues, talking about the historic visit of the South Korean president. And now, last month, this other story... Oh, sorry, we're actually running out of time, coming up to the 8 a.m. news. And after the news, we're going to have the breakfast grill where Sharon's going to talk to Jeffrey Chiu, Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.